from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now, it's game time. Gabe Kuhn.
Gabe Kuhn was one of the great little trivial nuggets in all of football bios. His grandfather was the inventor of the Easy Bake Oven.
Like a boss, the best lineman on the radio. Well, the only lineman on the radio. It's game time.
Game time. We're ready.
The Gabe Kuhn Show. 92.9 FM. ESPN.
And rolling on a Wednesday midweek, August 7th, 2024 is the date. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, former Memphis Tiger offensive lineman, Gabe Kuhn on XHG_Kuhn71. I'm alongside, as always, the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning on XHC Dunning 929. Connor, how's it going?
Hanging in there.
Okay. We have some trouble with Memphis the dog.
I myself had a concerning doctor's appointment this morning, but I'm all good.
Okay.
But yeah, we found out, unfortunately, last night, had to take Memphis to the emergency vet. He is okay. Had to take him to Kelsey K9 again today, get him checked out. Had to run tests for about 4 or 5 hours. Turns out, no ACL injury.
Okay.
We're still not really 100% sure what's going on with him. His leg has swollen to a bit of a concerning degree. The going theory is that he has immune-mediated polyarthritis, which is basically his body. He has arthritis in his back legs, hind legs, and his body is recognizing it as something to go after. So it's causing the leg to swell. The good news is it was such an odd day, because when you're in the vet, first off, last night, had to take him to the emergency vet. Pet owners, don't Google. I Googled.
Don't WebMD it.
I panicked myself, ended up at the vet. They couldn't tell me much because I was going to Kelsey this morning anyway. So they were like, you might as well just wait till tomorrow morning. So I may have panicked a little bit last night with Memphis, but he's doing okay. Got to Kelsey this morning, ran a whole bunch of tests, and it was very odd because when you're at the vet, usually when they walk in and say, good news, his blood looks all good, you're like, great.
Great.
And then they walk in and say, good news, he tested negative for the tick-borne disease. Great. Good news,
his x-ray
on his abdomen and chest and leg is not showing signs of cancer or a tumor or anything.
Great.
Except we don't know what's going on. And that's why right now the going theory is that it is this arthritis thing that he is dealing with. But unfortunately right now, we have to put him on some medication. Hopefully he responds to that, and further testing may be needed to actually figure out what it is. But it's odd because it's like, good news, but then we're going to punch you in the gut too. Because, you know, but I will say, the people over at Kelsey, amazing. Unbelievable.
Yep.
I am a helicopter parent when it comes to a dog, and I am calling him constantly, texting them constantly. I am there all the time with him. He is a sickly dog, has been for a few years now. We're getting by. And today they were absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. They got us through. And we're going to get him figured out. He's going to be okay. The good news is it appears that we are out of the woods of things that are lethal and life-threatening. And now we just have to figure out what it is. And if it's an infection, if it's the arthritis, if it's both. So we're going to get him on some antibiotics. He got some laser treatment. I'm tired, Gabe.
You just get to that point with a dog. You're like, I wish you could speak to me.
I know.
I wish you could talk. Like, if it's a human,
I know.
I can. You know, you can verbally tell me what's wrong. But like with a dog, you just bring him to the vet and you hope the vet has an idea. And when they don't have an idea, terrifying.
Yeah,
terrifying stuff. But we'll let you roll for the 6 to 7 hours. We'll bring in Brad Carson.
Yeah, I got to pick up some meds. I got to pick up some medicine.
We'll let you handle that. Now we have 3 hours of Talk on the Way, courtesy of 92.9 FM, ESPN, and yours truly. We're going to open on Overreaction, Not an Overreaction, as we normally do. Talk about Brandon Ayuk. We're also going to talk about Team USA, the men's basketball team, who handled business yesterday, 122-87 against Brazil. Are they finally hitting their stride? It certainly seems that way. But we'll also have some Olympic news here in just a moment. We have some NFL news on top of that. It sounds like Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni over with the Philadelphia Eagles. A little bit of disconnect. Seems like a little bit of disconnect. We had a story 2 weeks ago by Diana Rossini, who's now with The Athletic, about it. But it seems like it's decaying. It's decaying by the day. There's some hope there, though, that Kellen Moore, their new offensive coordinator, can be the glue that holds it together. But it's not looking good right now for the offense for the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, but on top of that, we'll have Bryce James here in the Blitz. Bryce James, LeBron James' son, not Bronny James. We know that. But Bryce James, he was ranked the number 100 overall player in the 2025 class by On3. 100. We had to get him in the top 100, so they put him at 100. I think it would be more genuine if they put him at like 92 or 93, but they put him at 100. We'll talk about that. But there's plenty to get to. As far as guests are concerned, we're absolutely loaded today. Bottom half of this hour, we're going to have Greg Cotton, the president of the Memphis Touchdown Club, to talk about their fall speaker series. And I will let you know every single speaking engagement. We'll get you prepped for that with Greg at about 4:30. 5 o'clock, David Koppel joined from CBS Sports on college football and college basketball. Today, we had another Michigan story that has to do with Jim Harbaugh. Not only does he have a level 1 violation levied against him, now that he's with the Chargers, for the sign-stealing investigation with Connor Stallions, he now has a show cause from the illegal recruiting he did during COVID. And the show cause, not 1 year, not even 2 years, not even 3 years, 4 year show cause. 4 year for one investigation, the first investigation, not the sign-stealing investigation, for Jim Harbaugh. So he is effectively going to be out of college football until 2028. I don't know if he'll ever return, but that definitely means he will not be back in college football for quite some time. Also, on top of all that, 6 o'clock, Rob Fisher will join. We know he does pre and post for the Grizzlies. He also does sideline reporting for them. We'll talk about the Grizzlies, the Olympics, because I know he has been absolutely tuned into that, and we'll get to the Blitz after. Now, in the Olympics today, we do have Quincy Hall winning the 400-meter gold for the U.S. of A. That was a hell of a race, wasn't it, Connor? He won by 400ths of a second.
Incredible.
In the 400-meter. That was great. Last night, or yesterday, we had Cole Hocker in the 1500-meter. That was insane, too. Just to see him, like the level of pettiness he had to go win that race in the 1500-meter. And I know that's middle distance. They term that as middle distance, even though it's right there around a mile. The two favorites were running next to each other thinking that, oh, we're going to go win this race. They left a little bit of a lane on the inside, and Cole Hocker just took off. He upset everybody. He upset the favorites. He was gunning for a bronze, ended up getting a gold. That was great. And then Gabby Thomas, I don't know if people are familiar with her story, but she won 200-meter gold for the U.S. Next thing she'll be participating in is the 4x100, which they'll be great. If you want to look at for the next best event in track and field, the 4x100 for the men and women start on Thursday. The heats are on Thursday. The finals are on Friday. And they'll both be during the day around noon, so you can watch it live. They will both be absolutely electric. But Gabby Thomas, if you want to aspire to be anyone, be Gabby Thomas. She graduated neurobiology at Harvard at 22 years of age. She got a master's in epidemiology at Texas by 26. Now she's a gold medalist at 27. And to be clear about the 200-meter gold she just won, that was a very hard gold medal to obtain. She had to beat out Julian Alfred, who you'll remember is from St. Lucia, the only medalist in St. Lucian history. She won the 100-meter last weekend. So this was not easy for Gabby Thomas, and she is the first woman to win gold in the 200-meter since Allison Felix in 2012, who is also her idol, who she's very close with, who helped train her. She now gets to get this. This is another reason to be like Gabby Thomas. She volunteers at a clinic for the uninsured in Texas. She's the greatest. I can't think of a better human being than Gabby Thomas for, someone to win a gold medal. Gabby Thomas is the person you root on to go get that done. And definitely, if you're a young woman, young man, aspire to be like Gabby Thomas. That's phenomenal stuff. Now, without further ado, you know what we start every single Wednesday show with? It's Overreaction, Not an Overreaction. Connor, hit it.
Now, it's Overreaction or Not an Overreaction.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
That's crazy.
Chill, homie.
On the Gabe Cujo from 92.9.
All right, Gabe. Taking Memphis to the emergency vet after Googling. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Overreaction. Don't WebMD.
Don't WebMD.
I think WebMDing for yourself is worse. Or not even worse. I think WebMDing for yourself is bad, but at least like you can express to other people how you feel and they can talk you down off that ledge. With a dog, if you're WebMDing, you don't hear what they're saying, so now you're just going to think the worst no matter what.
You don't even have
a glimmer of hope if you're WebMDing for a dog. Overreaction.
Does it make it better that it was Reddit and not WebMD?
It makes it probably 10 times worse. A solid 10 times worse.
I think you're right.
Don't hit Reddit.
I think you're right. All right, first up. Team USA smacked Brazil around yesterday, 122-87. Devin Booker led the way with 18 points, and Kevin Durant became the all-time leading scorer in Team USA basketball history, breaking Lisa Leslie's record. They seem to be on the right track to gold. Team USA men's basketball finally looks how they should. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
Not an overreaction in the slightest. They are looking like a team that is going to dominate on the way to gold. And we've been waiting for this for a while. And I think we can take a little bit of the criticism away from Steve Kerr. He's found the right lineups. Again, I don't think it was that hard to find the right lineups. You have 12 All-Stars out of 12 players. You have Kevin Durant, the leading scorer all time. But this team is playing at the peak of their powers. And to see LeBron James out there yesterday in 17 minutes go 5-for-6 from the field, 9 assists in 17 minutes, 12 points, he might be the Olympic MVP for this entire tournament at 40 years of age. It's nuts. And he even got stitches. He had 4 stitches that he had to go get that he missed the rest of the Brazil game with because he got elbowed over the top of the head. But this team's finally playing the right way. Not only are they able to, hunt shots for themselves, but they're sharing the ball largely. We have been talking about consistently throughout the tournament and even through the showcase and the exhibitions that when the ball sticks, they don't look as good. When the ball doesn't stick and they start moving it, they look good. They've been moving the ball really well the past few games, and that's why they're making this happen. They have completely settled in. They have won each of their first 4 games by at least 15 points, marking the first time a U.S. men's team has done so since the 2008 Redeem Team. They're finally playing like a potential named team, and I like to see that for them. Now they're going to play Serbia next. It'll be Thursday at 2 p.m. Then we're going to see who they end up playing after Serbia, Germany versus France, Thursday at 10:30 a.m. But I do find it interesting. Joel Embiid somehow has ankle soreness, and they're playing Serbia and Nikola Jokic. I hope he plays. I hope he plays against Jokic because he's been playing a whole lot better. That's a big step in the right direction. In 12 minutes yesterday against Brazil, 14 points, 5 for 6 from the field, 3 for 3 from the three-point line. And Brazil has a decent back line. It's not like they're small. They have been doing really well against other opponents. Joel Embiid's finally understanding the FIBA rules and playing within them. He knocked down 3 threes. So I hope he can play against Jokic because they're going to need all hands on deck, all the bigs they can get to deal with him. I still think they'll win pretty handily, but that's been nice to see. The only thing, and this is something I didn't expect that for the entirety of this tournament, Steph Curry is the one guy that just hasn't really had his moment. Steph Curry has not been able to get going. And we know it was a few games ago where Steve Kerr said, we need to get Steph Curry going, and he hasn't been able to get that done. That's been strange. I thought Steph Curry was going to be one of the main forces on this team, and he hasn't.
Man, this team has been awesome so far during the Olympics. They've been playing exactly the way that you hoped that they would. They've certainly stepped it up since the showcase games, and most notably, they're starting their first quarters really well. Like, they absolutely came out and punched Brazil in the mouth. And it is interesting how LeBron James, how he has declined, you know, as he is aging, has just all of a sudden become one of the best point guards in the world, if not the best point guard in the world, moving the ball, helping things flow for Team USA. And credit where credit is due, Joel Embiid the last two games has looked much better. He is moving much better. The Puerto Rico game, the stats are a little inflated because he did a lot in that second half once the game was over, but against Brazil, he stepped it up and he played team basketball. And that, as long as he is doing that, then he can fit in with this Team USA team. Somebody that's kind of been, in my opinion, the undersung hero of Team USA, Devin Booker, is just playing with a sense of joy, and he's all over the floor. He's knocking down his shots. His three-point shooting has been basically automatic for Team USA.
5 for 7
throughout
yesterday.
The Olympics. He has been one of the best players on this team. You may even be able to argue he's having the best Olympics of the entire team. He's been so consistent game in and game out. I know that we mentioned him as the guy to maybe not get the minutes for Jason Tatum, but that's when he played 26 minutes in a blowout. He absolutely needs to be playing for Team USA. He helps things move there. And it's, to be quite honest with you, I think one of the reasons we're seeing so much success from these guys is they are playing with joy. They're playing with freedom. And the offense has been flowing. The
confidence.
Basketball isn't sticking, like you said. They had 31 assists in the game yesterday. And that's, to be quite honest, it was over by the fourth quarter. So they were just kind of trying to get theirs in the fourth. But they've really been moving. And that second unit is absolutely devastating. Anthony Edwards comes in, and he can score at any moment. Bam Adebayo's defense has been phenomenal. Kevin Durant is a sniper. This team is very, very talented, and we are finally seeing them perform the way that we expected them to.
Yes.
And it's been a lot of fun to see. The last few games for Team USA have been must-watch television.
On the Devin Booker front, it is kind of funny. Like, Kevin Durant is the leading scorer in Team USA basketball history, and I think the reason that is because with the FIBA rules, you know, attacking the cups a little bit harder, going in foul hunting's a little bit harder, but the players that can go get to their spot, lift and put up jumpers and make jumpers, be good shot takers and makers, they are the guys that will put up points in bunches. And I think Devin Booker's fitting in perfectly in that particular role. There's no one in the world that can stop him from getting to his spot and putting up a shot. And he has been absolutely lethal in that role. And I'll say this, all right, I'm going to say it. I still think Jaylen Brown was probably the pick that should have been made. And there was some politics that held that up. Derek White's been really good.
He's been awesome.
He's a perfect tie-together piece on the defensive end for this team, and you can't keep him off the floor because of what he does on the defensive end and what he does on the perimeter. He just bothers anybody else. If you have a backcourt that's worth their salt, he's going to keep them from getting anything done. Derek White and Drew Holiday, the fact that they're on the same team here in the United States with the Celtics, it should tell you why they won the NBA championship. They are lethal as defenders on the perimeter.
Yeah, and you want to talk about having knockdown shooters and being able to get to your spot and things like that, and that's fitting in with Team USA. To be quite honest, that's kind of why Jason Tatum, I think, has been struggling. He just hasn't been aggressive shooting the basketball. He's passing up a lot of open threes, and I understand that he's not shooting them well, and he finished the season, I think, sub 30 in his last like 25 games or something like that. But just not taking them isn't helping Team USA.
Is his jumper a little bit broken?
So, I don't know if it's broken.
It's not broken all the way, but he has a hitch, a ridiculous hitch that he didn't have when he came into the NBA.
No, he definitely didn't have when he came in, but he's had it for a little bit now.
Yeah.
A theory that I want to offer, and I understand that it may not hold water here because we also have Derek White and we also have Drew Holiday, but they did just get done playing like 100 games. You know, yeah, so they have been playing a lot of basketball, and I think that a lot of it was on Jason Tatum's shoulders. So some of this might be fatigue. At the end of the day, though, his fit is just a little bit awkward here, and that's why whenever he sat, you and I didn't disagree with him being the player to sit. We disagreed with the reasoning behind it. Just come out and say he sat because he's not hitting his jump shots, he's passing him up, and he's not really doing much for Team USA when he's in there. He's moving the ball pretty well, but his fit has just been a bit awkward here. So hopefully we can see him getting going here soon, but it has been a lot of fun. You know, at first I wanted Kevin Durant to be a starter, but I see the vision of him being coming off the bench and just being able to knock down shots because there's not anybody in the world that can defend him and Anthony Edwards out there. Oh, and by the way, Anthony Davis is running around too.
The rest of the damn world is like, okay, the starting lineup, we're going to have to, you know, try to win these minutes while they're out there, and we'll see what we can do. And then they bring in their next five, and Kevin Durant, the leading scorer in U.S. Olympic history, comes off the bench. That is demoralizing for another team. That is depressing to have to see Kevin Durant come off the bench and light you up. And I'm impressed with him, too. I mean, 494 points in his career. He's going to be able to add that. This is likely his last Olympics, but he broke the Team USA record, and that is phenomenal. Now, I do want to talk about the other side yesterday, Brazil. Our guy Bruno Caboclo. How about him, man? Do you think he get another shot in the NBA? Is he 3 years away from being 3 years away still?
Listen, Bruno,
he had 30 points, and then against Japan earlier in the tournament, he had 33 points and 17 rebounds. He's when he's on, because I think he's gone a couple of games where he's gotten less minutes in this tournament, and obviously they're out now. But when he's on, he's very, very good. He's probably their best player.
Bruno?
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, when you look at their team, they're not bad by any means. It's just Bruno is definitely their best guy. He's their most skilled player. He kind of has the body size to be able to get it done.
Oh, Bruno, man.
He, in theory, can score at all three levels. He was 2 of 6. He's added a bit of a three-point shot since last time we saw him. I just think he's destined to be a great international player, a really good Olympic player, good FIBA player. I just don't know if he fits in with the NBA because at the end of the day, just doesn't play that much defense.
I understand
just straight
that,
up
but
doesn't
still,
play that much defense.
But still, he has the ability to play. He has like the natural athletic ability to be a good defender. He can block some shots at the rim. He can move relatively well. He's got all the tools that should make a good NBA player. He really does.
Oh, yeah.
He can knock down a three. He can get to the rim. He can shoot a mid-range. He can put his back on somebody and go score in the post.
I think that's what Chris Wallace said to the Grizzlies.
It's so true.
In the office. He was like, no, he just listed off all these things. I believe in him. And then he just didn't work out.
Isn't it wild, though, even the guys with the most tools, and he's 6'10", too. Like, he's massive. He's a massive human being. And he can play on the wing. He can play in the post. Like, it's strange to see some of these guys with all these natural tools not be able to fit in the NBA.
It just shows you how hard it is to play in the NBA.
I think it shows how hard it is to find your role in the NBA, too.
Yeah.
You have to find your role. You know what I mean? With Brazil, he's allowed to go put up a bunch of shots when he gets the requisite amount of minutes. In the NBA, he was never able to do that.
Right.
That never was going to be his role unless he showed good flashes in a fair amount of minutes. But it's just strange to me. Even the guys with the most talent in the world cannot fit in that league, which also brings me back to the potential for a FIBA versus NBA showcase tournament in season or out of season. It does show that it'll probably be bloodbath.
Listen,
a lot of bloodbath.
It'll be cool for one game, and then we'll hit the second quarter, and we'll look up and we'll be like, uh-oh, this score's pretty rough. Speaking of role guys, I do think for Team USA, we do need to mention him because he has been, to be quite honest, one of the ultimate glue guys we've ever seen. Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Holy crap. How awesome is he?
And his ability to knock down a three ball, too. He's been really good from the three-point line. And that was I was wrong heading into Olympic play. I said you know, this is going to be one of the best shooting teams, probably the best shooting team of all time. And I said there was one guy you probably don't want putting up threes, and it was Bam Adebayo. But based on the way he has shot during the showcase and into the Olympics, yeah, I want him putting up threes. Damn. And if he can carry that over to the Heat, my God. My God.
Team USA shot 48% from three yesterday.
Yeah, 57, and also 58% from the field in general.
When does it become a war crime?
I don't know. Past few games have been close.
It's been close. It's been real close. I just want to do a temperature check. Our prediction was that this is one of the most talented teams that we have ever seen from Team USA. We think that they're going to be in the pantheon of great teams. Where do you place them right now with like 92 and 2008, the Redeem team? Or have they hit that status, or do they have to meddle before we can have those conversations?
Let's see what they do in the semifinals, then the finals. Then we can have that conversation.
Right.
And what's the you know, difference in points? How much do they beat these teams by? They're again, I mentioned it already, they're on pace with the Redeem team. They've won each of their first four games by at least 15 points. That's the first time that a U.S. men's team has done so since the Redeem team. So they are putting themselves in that category. But again, I think we have to get to the point where they're winning gold and then have a conversation.
I totally agree with you. They are approaching said territory where they are not quite there yet. Go watch that documentary about the Redeem team and those Team USA teams. That team was awesome. And I feel like, yes, we talk about the Redeem team all the time, but man, that team was absolutely talented. All right, moving on. The Brandon Ayuk saga is continuing. His 49ers teammate Christian McCaffrey spoke to media yesterday, and he called Ayuk a former teammate. I have a clip for you. Give it a listen.
That's not part of my job. It's not part of my position. I think obviously as a former teammate teammate of his in general, any teammate that you have, you love, you respect them, you want the best for them.
I like how he tried to correct it very quickly and be like,
teammate.
Yeah. Now that we know the 49ers players are even planning on him being elsewhere, I think it's worth mentioning that the Steelers are the biggest player in requiring his services. If the Steelers acquire Brandon Ayuk, they're signaling to us that the QB of the future is on the roster. Overreaction, not an overreaction.
And obviously we'd be pointing to Justin Fields more so than Russell Wilson because he's across the 30 plateau he's not looking that great. But I'm gonna call this an overreaction, and the reason I call it an overreaction because the first depth chart was put out by the Steelers, and you know who the starting quarterback was listed as? Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's still listed as the starting quarterback. I guess that Mike Tomlin's not gonna do the Wally Pipp treatment yet. He's gonna wait to see how Justin Fields handles himself throughout the rest of the preseason, see how he does in preseason games when the lights are on him, and then they will make that decision. But no, I don't think just because they acquire Brandon Ayuk, they're signaling to us that the future quarterback is on the roster. And, I think going into this season, a lot has to go right for both of those guys to signal that they're the quarterback of the future for the Steelers. For Russell Wilson, he's going to have to take care of the football. He's going to have to get back to what he did, getting into the play-action concepts that helped him so much in a Seahawks uniform, helped them capitalize on winning a Super Bowl. And for Justin Fields, he's just going to have to show that he can make something happen. He's going to have to show that he can throw from the pocket and be accurate and do all of the things that show that you're a professional quarterback in this league and not a potential backup for the rest of your career. I think that there is that distinct possibility. If they sign Brandon Ayuk for 3 or 4 years, they could start over at the quarterback position. Justin Fields has 1 year on his deal. Russell Wilson has 1 year on his deal. They could start this thing over relatively soon and find their quarterback of the future in a NFL draft scenario. So, no, I don't think even if they go get Brandon Ayuk, they're saying that they have the quarterback they want. What I think it does show is that they are trying to surround whatever quarterback they have going into the future with as many weapons as possible because they have been a abysmal offense that has failed to reach the 21st century offensively. And to have Brandon Ayuk and George Pickens and Roman Wilson and these guys surrounding whoever is it is at quarterback, I think Mike Tomlin understands you need to have as many hands on deck to go make that happen. That's what it signals to me. It shows that they want to move into the 21st century. It doesn't tell me that their quarterback is already on the roster.
Absolutely nailed it. I do think that it would signal that they are looking toward the future and they are preparing to get ready for the next run of Steelers
football.
And it
football. Could be one of the two. It could be Justin Fields. It could be.
They probably want it to be, but I don't think it guarantees anything by any means.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we've only seen 2 weeks or a week and a half worth of Justin Fields playing really well in a Steelers uniform in camp. That does not tell you that they immediately trust him throughout a regular season. You still have to. You have 17 games worth of film you have to put out there to show that you're going to be the quarterback of the future.
Are you surprised it has become a QB battle this fast?
Not really, no, because I think Russell Wilson's lost a lot. Russell Wilson's not the quarterback he was with the Seahawks. We saw that in a Broncos uniform. Although I will say, last year, I think there was a lot of misnomers about Russell Wilson as a quarterback. He did take care of the football a whole lot better, played a lot better with Sean Payton. The reason that it all ended is because they didn't want to pay him the contract that they ultimately gave him in the regime previous to Sean Payton. So I think there's still something to unlock with Russell Wilson, but I think they have a good enough quarterback room to be a wild card team. They were last year, even with Mason Rudolph running out there at times. So I think they have the potential to be a playoff team. I don't know about much more than that. We'll see what if Brandon Ayuk gets there, what that looks like. But I think they're going to have a better offense. I just don't know if it's going to get them over the hump to make you feel like they can win a playoff game. Now, I will say this. Andrew Filippone, who works at 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, he has put out, per his sources, that the Steelers have a verbal agreement in place with Brandon Ayuk, and all the terms of the deal and contract details are being hammered out now. And he says that it is a foregone conclusion that Brandon Ayuk will be in Pittsburgh here relatively soon. I don't know. We've had a lot of conflicting reports, though, on Brandon Ayuk and where he has been supposed to go for a while now. But Andrew Filippone put that out there. But it seems like the Patriots are out now completely, right?
Sounds like they had a deal potentially in place, and it was the
high money offer. They were willing to offer him $30 million a year. But Brandon Ayuk probably said, no, I'm not going to New England. You guys don't have your quarterback situation figured out, and it's just not all that fun.
It's also freezing.
Yeah.
I guess it was Pittsburgh. But yeah.
And Brandon Ayuk wants to go somewhere where
you can win.
Well, one, you can win. And who knows? The Patriots may be able to build this thing up, and Drake may be all these been, tabbed to be. But I think there's situations where it's more win now. And he wants to be with someone he's familiar with. Him and Mike Tomlin are very close.
And then
with the Commanders, yep. Him and Jaden Daniels, who was also listed as a starter.
Good for him.
In the first depth chart for the Commanders. They're very close from their time at Arizona State. So he wants to go somewhere where he's familiar with his surroundings. The Patriots and the Browns didn't really fit that category.
Right.
So we shall see. I'm wondering if we'll get an announcement by the time we get off air. I think that's a pretty solid possibility. Let's go ahead and grab a break, though, on that note. And when we come back, 92.9 is the official radio partner of the fall speaker series at the Memphis Touchdown Club. So we need to talk to the head honcho of the Memphis Touchdown Club about what is to come this fall. So Greg Cotton, the president of the Memphis Touchdown Club, will join next. Season approaches. It's a great time to tell you about the great relationship we have here at 92.9 FM ESPN as the official radio partner of the fall speaker series of the Memphis Touchdown Club. The list of speakers is phenomenal this year. You should definitely get involved. Go to memphistouchdownclub.com to purchase your 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club membership. Cole Kubelik, Tony Barnhart, Hunter Yurecek, Ryan Silverfield, Jackie Sherrill, HaHa Clinton Dix, Chad Bumpus, Alyssa Lang, among the speakers that you can see. And we talked to bosses, so we need to bring on the boss of the Memphis Touchdown Club. That would be Greg Cotton. Greg joins right this second. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Gabe, I'm great. It's good to hear from you. Good to talk with you. I thank you for having me on.
Yes, of course. Of course. Now, how excited are you coming up this fall? It's right around the corner, and we're right around the corner from the fall speaker series.
It's what everybody waits for. It's football time. And we start off, you know, just August the 20th. I mean, we're just around the corner.
Yep.
Cole Kubelik will be here, and you know, he's a great speaker. We're going to have a great time. We've got a great I think one of the best lineups we've ever had this year. Because we, as you mentioned, we've got Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. We've got Hunter Yurecek from over at the home of the Hogs, the University of Arkansas. We're going to have our local Ryan Silverfield. We've got Jackie Sherrill coming in, Alyssa Lang. We've got a great lineup, and we're going to have a and you've been there. You know,
yep,
we have a good time, and we have a good time. So we got 9 meetings lined up. They're going to be over at the Hilton, as always, the home of the Memphis Touchdown Club. If you pay to join by August 15, you get all 9 meetings for $450. The guest fees will be $100 a meeting, but if you want to join and you've paid the guest fee, that'll be credited to the annual dues. We're cranked up. We've got a great lineup again. I can't harp on it enough, and we're going to have a good time.
Yep.
And if you want to have a good time, have a decent meal, talk college football.
Maybe a couple of libations while you're sitting there enjoying the speaker.
You just might never know. But it'll be fun, and we're looking forward to you coming back to see us.
Yeah, of course. We know during college football season I'm tied up, but I'm definitely going to make it over there. Now, one of the speakers that I am really excited to see, and I think a lot of the people at the Memphis Touchdown Club can learn a lot from, is October 14th. You're going to have Billy Glasscock over there. The Ole Miss football general manager. I know that it takes some getting used to, and people are not used to general managers at the college football level. But with this transition closer to the pro game where you have the players getting paid a fair amount, they may have a little bit more leverage. I'm very excited for that, but it is a sign of the times that you have a college football general manager showing up to speak.
Well, I think you're right, and I think it is exciting, and I think the thing that people need to think about, that general manager position, that frees up your head coach to coach. They don't have to be, you know, they don't have to be a head of HR. They don't have to be that in that position. They can coach. I think it's going to be really interesting because I've never heard a GM speak before. Not one of these college general managers. This is first time we've had one, and I think it's going to be a lot of information, and I think it'll be a good time. Yeah, be fun.
And the one thing I want to know, and I know that people get annoyed with all the big money moving around. You know, we have people working, you know, hourly gigs where they're making a certain amount per hour. We have people that are working with their hands, so they don't like to hear about all these hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars moving around. But one thing I want to know from Billy is how much does he have his hands in on understanding the you know, how you divide the funds to your team and how that affects the team? Because that's something going to the future that could be an unintended consequence that we have to sort of figure out. How do you keep team chemistry with sort of putting all these funds in different directions where you have a quarterback making millions of dollars and the offensive linemen are making $50,000 or whatever it is? It's going to be an interesting conversation that...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is had there about how you divide all the NIL funds?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right, and I mean there has to be a solution, because just think about it, just from a human nature perspective, I'm making 15 grand, and there's a guy behind me, you know, he's pulling in 2 million, yeah, with clicks on his
right,
telephone. I mean,
right,
yeah, think about it. I mean, and the money keeps pouring in. You know, they keeps pouring in, the money gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think you're right. There has to be a way to distribute those funds you got to keep that team chemistry. I mean, let's face it. If you ain't got a team chemistry, you ain't got a team.
Yes. Yes. You have a team that will underachieve and a team that, yeah, will be at each other's necks the entire year and may not accomplish all they need to accomplish. Now, I have to ask you, as an Alabama grad, you have Ha-Ha Clinton Dix coming on down. How do you feel about Alabama, and are you excited to see Ha-Ha in town?
I'm really excited to see Ha-Ha in town, and I'm excited. I mean, the people I talk to in Tuscaloosa, it's just – It's exciting. I mean, people are cranked up. And I was talking to a fellow the other day, and he told me, he said, let me tell you, I was in over at the athletic department, and he said, the big difference I saw. I said, what is that? He said, Coach DeBoer hugs everybody. He said, he's hugging players all the time. And, you know, I mean, and he said, didn't get that with Coach Saban. He said it's a different feeling, but he said the players are jacked. So, you know, it's going to be interesting with this big with the big increase in teams going to the playoffs, and I think the Tide's going to do well.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
I think the Tide's going to do well.
So I'm right there.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be fun this whole year.
Yeah.
College football, it's always fun.
Yeah. Now, it's funny, the Kalen DeBoer conversation's been interesting, because, you know, there's a lot of different things he's doing that Nick Saban never did. He's inviting more guests into the facility, bringing fans, yeah, out there. They can pay money, yeah, to go watch practice. You know, and some people view that as a negative, but the way I view it, I had two different coaches when I was at the University of Memphis. Just because you do things differently doesn't mean that you're taking a downturn. It doesn't mean that, yeah, it's going to go worse. It could be better on the back end for the players and the engagement and the recruiting when you do some outreach and you love on your players. Now, Nick Saban is the goat of all goats. One, I don't think you should compare anyone to him, much less Kalen DeBoer trying to take over for him. But, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. And I think Kalen DeBoer is doing it his way, and I like to see that. He could have gotten caught up in trying to recreate Saban. He could have gotten caught up with the fan base calling for that. but he is still doing it his way because he's seen a lot of success doing it his way.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. And I think there's there is a lot of energy. I mean, there's a lot of energy in the fan base. I think that there's a lot of energy in the players. And so I think that the tie is going to be fine. I'm going to be interested to see what Coach Silverfield has to say.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to be five games into the season at that point.
I know it. And I mean, hey, I don't think anyone doubts that the Tigers can make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, there's nothing off the table for that program. And, I take a lot of pride in that. I really do. To see where this program has come since 2014, since Justin Fuente took over in 2012, it is phenomenal. And the upward trajectory this year, I think it really is an inflection point. Can you keep that positive momentum going? You have great NIL funds. You have a stadium that's being rebuilt at the current moment, mm-hmm. and it's just wild to see that, by the way. I'll get to that in a second. But can you keep that positive momentum going into the future? Because that positive momentum can go a long way into getting you where you want to go as far as the conference realignment discussion.
Oh, I think you're right. And I think everything points to really more and more good things happening for our Tigers here in town. I mean, with that stadium renovation, hey, they're going to have their facilities already will match up with anybody.
Yep.
And now we're going to have the redesigned stadium. Hey, everything is on the upward trajectory.
Yeah.
And Coach Silverfield's doing a heck of a job. I mean, really is.
Yeah, and I still wish I was born 5 or 6 years later and still went to the University of Memphis so I could take advantage of some of this. Now, for you, I mean, you've been to the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium a bunch of times throughout your life, and you've been here for a while. Like, how interesting, how bizarre is it to see the home side of that stadium, you know, in the condition it is right now? I mean, you have the press box and the elevator and everything by itself. Everything's knocked down. You have all that rubble under there. Is it bittersweet for you? Because I've seen a lot of that throughout the city of Memphis.
Well, it is. I mean, I'm excited, don't get me wrong, but change is tough. And I can remember, going to the stadium when I was in high school. I mean, got the team go out and watch the Tigers play, and I've been going out there for a lot longer than I want to talk about. hey, it's exciting. And I think it can't help but benefit the program.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I have not discussed with you, believe it or not, we've had these discussions every single year when the speaker series gets announced. 12-team playoff, a lot more opportunity for a lot more teams out there in the Power Four. Definitely you have that spot for the Group of Five that a lot of people think Memphis could fill. What do you think about the expansion of the playoff? Do you like it? Do you think it creates a better atmosphere for the athletes? How do you feel about that 12-team playoff?
Let me tell you, initially I was very much against it.
Sure.
But you know, the more I think about it and the more teams you can get involved, that doesn't do anything but generate more excitement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it gives more opportunity, the more excitement, the more fans. I mean, hey, it's a great thing.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think so. But, hey, the more I think about it, it gives our local team, look what it can do for the Tigers.
Yep.
I mean, think about it. I mean, I just think it's just got all the makings of, of course, it's kind of a fruit basket turnover right now, but I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be great.
One of the interesting things just about college football and where we're at, too, is we've escaped from tradition. It doesn't mean people aren't watching. It doesn't mean me and you aren't going to watch like we always have. But how have you felt about the escape from tradition? The normal rivalries not being played, you know, the geographic footprint of certain conferences being knocked down, the Pac-12 no longer being here. I understand that, you know, we have to get along with the times. The times are changing. We have no choice but to accept it. But still, I think there's a lot of people that have that sour taste in their mouth to a certain extent about how much, different, the culture has shifted in college football.
Well, I agree with that, and it is sad. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. This is the first time I can ever remember that the Tide will not play a team from Mississippi.
It's wild.
I mean, that's so wild. I mean, think about it.
Bigger conference.
Bigger conference. But again, I think it's exciting. I think that there are some. I think we're going to see a lot of fun things, and I think we're going to see a lot of fun new things develop.
Yeah.
So, you just gotta go because you love the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it will take care of itself.
Are you hyped up about Texas and Oklahoma getting back to the SEC, getting back to that footprint?
Sure. I mean, bring on those Sooners. Bring on those Longhorns.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be fun. I mean, you know, just more people to smack around. We're going to have a good time.
Yep, 100%. Now, I definitely want to lay this out there. Membership cost for all nine events, $450 if paid before August 15th. The price is $475 beginning August 16th. And the cost for individual meetings is $100. Let my listeners know how they can go get their membership, get their tickets. What avenues do they need to explore?
Here's what to do. You want to go to, and just this is all one word, Memphis Touchdown Club, memphistouchdownclub@gmail.com. Or you can go to Facebook to Memphis Touchdown Club, sign up there.
Yep, and then memphistouchdownclub.com, too, as
right,
well.
And you go to Memphis. I was getting ready to say, go to memphistouchdownclub.com, and you can get your membership right there.
Yep.
And we'll look forward to seeing everybody on the 20th of August. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, and Cole Kubelik, I had to fill in for him during the spring. He's ready to go, though. He's reared up and ready to go. Harold told me as soon as he extended the invite, he said, I want to be that first speaker. Let's get this thing ripping and roaring.
He is. As a matter of fact, I talked to him just the other day, and he called to say, you know, hey, I want to remind you, I'll be there. Everything's clear. And I said, okay. Yeah. He's jacked up, so it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, those ESPN scheduling conflicts that work against you sometimes. Sometimes.
Yeah, right. So sometimes when the boss calls, you have to answer.
Makes sense.
Hey, listen, and I want to thank y'all again, though. 99. It's great. I mean, a fantastic media partner. We're so pleased to be partnered with y'all again.
And we feel the exact same way. It is reciprocated. There's no doubt about it. But, Greg, I appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on.
Gabe, thank you, sir, and we will see you soon.
Yes, sir. That is the president of the Memphis Touchdown Club, Greg Cotton. Fall Speaker Series is on the way. Go to Memphis Touchdown Club to purchase your 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club membership. You're going to have chances to hear Cole Kubelik, Tony Barnhart, Hunter Yurecek, Ryan Silverfield. October 14th, I'm going to have to be in attendance. I really want to see how the GM position is affecting college football and the extended staffs, how that's affecting college football. But Billy Glasscock, the Ole Miss football GM, will be October 14th. Then you have Jackie Sherrill, HaHa Clinton Dix, Chad Bumpus, and then, of course, Alyssa Lang to wrap up the Fall Speaker Series. But we are right here on the doorstep of the college football season. Again, memphistouchdownclub.com to purchase your 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club membership. Let's go ahead and grab a break. Get to hour number two, though, on that note. And opening hour number two, we have some college football to talk and some Michigan allegations, notice of allegations, a show cause for Jim Harbaugh. We need to talk with David Cobb next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.